What is the one thing we walk away with today? And our main point for you guys today is God is with me. Can you guys say, God is with me?
God is with me.
Turn to your neighbor, say, God is with you.
We're
going to have an awesome service, but I'm going to invite my friend Jada. Everyone say, get up here, Jada.
Get up here, Jada.
Because you know what? This Christmas, we get to celebrate that Jesus came to be with us. And one thing that we love to do is we want to take a moment and pray, because we're going to invite God's Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts today, that we would hear what God has to say to us. So we're going to pray together what we call the 1-2-3-4 way. Everyone goes 1, 2, 3, 4.
I pray that all of us have a good Christmas because Jesus was born on this day and he wanted us to remember how he made a change in this world and how when he was born it would never be the same without the power of his love. And Jesus name we pray, amen.
And everybody said, amen. This Christmas, I am so excited that I get to be with you guys. Because of all the things that I want to do today, I want to be with my family to celebrate the single most significant moment of history, which is that Jesus died on the cross, but today we celebrate that he came. Can you guys say, Jesus came today?
Jesus came today.
You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens, the earth, all that was in them, and he looked at it and he said, it is good. But unfortunately, for those of you guys who know, people were naughty, Adam and Eve, they made mistakes, and we were together with God, but all of a sudden, sin separated us from him. And this was something that devastated the heart of God because his greatest love was you and I. And the fact that there was something that would separate us brought great sadness to his life. But at this moment, what I think is incredible is that from the beginning of time, God had a plan. And that plan was Jesus. You know, how many of you guys on Christmas, when you were younger, or if you are younger, ever got a present and you had certain expectations about what that gift was going to be? Like, I remember I was talking to some of the kids this week, and they had lots of expectations. And also, for those of you parents who do not know, most of your kids know your hiding spots. So just for the record, you might want to find a new place. But sometimes, when we would get a gift, you know, you get it and you shake it, right? And you're like, ooh, what's in this? You're like, it sounds kind of a little bit like, not like money, I don't know. And you have an expectation about what's inside the gift. How many of you guys have ever shaken something to figure out what's inside? You know, what I think is crazy is the very first Christmas, there were a lot of people who had a whole lot of expectations about Jesus, the coming Messiah. What would the Savior of the world be? What would he look like? What would his role be, his job? And I have a few gifts back here of things that they might have expected. You know, one awesome thing, I got this gift yesterday, it was so awesome, is, anybody know what this is? It's a gavel. A gavel is something that judges use to judge. And when Jesus was coming to this earth, when people were waiting for the Savior, the one who would save them from their sins, some people were looking for a judge, someone who would come and judge anyone who was not God's people and say, boom, 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 bad people. They were looking for a judge. But when God came, he didn't exactly come in that form. You see, there were other people who were looking for what's in bag number 3? A king. Not the Burger King, but I couldn't find anything else on short notice. But there were people who were looking for a king, someone who would reign and control the nation from a place of authority, like how we have a president. They were looking for someone who would take God's people, gather them together, and be their rightful leader in this way. But Jesus, when he came, he didn't exactly come with a crown on his head and a throne under his bosom, but there was another group of people who were looking for a warrior. Isn't this awesome? When I saw I was going to get a sword, I didn't know I was going to get a sword. But, you know, there were a lot of people who were looking for a warrior. Their expectations were that this Savior would come and make them, God's people, the strongest, most powerful army in all the land. And with these three things, these expectations that people had, they were a little bit confused. Because when Jesus was born, he didn't have a gavel in his hands, he didn't have a crown on his head, and he certainly did not have a sword on his hip. And while people had many different expectations about who this Savior would be, God blew their expectations completely out of the water. Because you know, the thing is that these expectations made it really difficult for people to recognize that Jesus was the Savior. You see, the Bible says that God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Not just of one nation, not just one country or one people group, but of the world. Can you guys say, the world?
The world.
God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And the thing is that with all these expectations, when all of a sudden, one night, a mom who had not yet been married, she was a virgin, she started to give birth, and she was in a barn with animals all around. When this started to happen, people's expectations at this moment were going to have to take the sideline, because all their expectations were making it really difficult for them to understand that this child who was coming was the Savior. And now this Christmas, it's important that we remember that, because God is with us. Can you guys say, God is with me?
God is with me.
Tell your neighbor, say, God is with you.
God is with you.
And with all the expectations that people might have about the Savior, about Jesus, whether it's that you think that he's going to come with a crown, gavel, or a sword, it's important that at some point we lay these down and we allow Jesus' expectations and his character to show who he is. Because he has greater things for us. And while he is certainly is a king of kings, he certainly is a warrior king, and he certainly is a judge, that their expectations were very limited because they didn't understand the fullness of who he was. And when he came as that beautiful baby, crying and so helpless because he came in one of the most vulnerable states that God ever could, this was a child that Jesus was going to grow up. I was going to grow up to be Jesus, and this child was the Savior of the world.
And Christmas is this time when we have all sorts of expectations. Have you thought about your expectations for today yet? I started my Christmas season expecting that we would have a Christmas tree. Last year was the first time we ever had a real Christmas tree in my family. And I was so excited. And then this year, I had a dog. And you can't have a Christmas tree and my dog in the same place, or that video would have happened in my house. So we made do and we figured it out. But, you know, you expect different things about Christmas. And sometimes it's you expect to be able to decorate different ways. Sometimes you expect to have different kinds of weather. How many people... yesterday I got all sorts of ready to be able to say to you, man, isn't it depressing that we have a muddy, gross, wet, sloppy, not white Christmas? Excuse me, I need to cross that bit of my sermon out. But you know, I should have known better, because my daughter has been praying for a white Christmas for the last 4 weeks. And let us all be reminded that when you ask God, he shows up. And so now we had this white Christmas. And you know how many of you walked in and said, I'm so grateful for the snow today. We even had expectations about the snow that were wrong, right? But first of all, I had one expectation that was right, and that was that you guys would all brave the snow. And I am so proud of you right now. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on outside. East Coast International Church, whoever it was, they walked in, they were like, oh my goodness, is there actually a seat left? That is what's going to happen. I'm so proud of you. But, you know, we have all these expectations, and some of them are little things like that. Like, they're like decorations and weather, but some of them are big expectations. We expect kids, the big expectation for you is, what am I going to get? And parents spend like as much effort as they possibly can come up with trying to teach kids the right thing to do when your expectations are not met by a present from a relative, which is, right? Smile and thank you. Smile and thank you. But, kids, you have these expectations and you've had this moment where you got something that was not what you were looking for? And it was, oh, socks. Thank you. You know, and adults, we like to think we're over this because we're not looking for presents exactly. It's just that we're looking for experiences. It's not what's in the box that we expect. It's how the day is going to go that we have expectations about. And those expectations are fed by commercials, and they're fed by our own desires, and they're fed by all sorts of things. But we have Christmas expectations all over the place. And I ask myself, how much of those Christmas expectations are getting in the way? How much of those expectations are making it so that we miss out on having the amazing Christmas God wants us to have? So if we strip away all of our expectations, I don't mean they don't happen. I mean we stop wanting them. This is one of the things that I say to my kids all the time. You can stop wanting. You get to change your expectations. You get to retrain your desires. You get to say, you know what? Yeah, I know I want this thing over here. You know what? Forget about that. I'm going to start wanting something new. It's hard. It takes practice. But if we make a choice to just get rid of our expectations, what are we left with on Christmas? We're left with a God who showed up. We're left with, and that's about it. We're left with a God who showed up for you. And I don't know if that sounds like a big deal or a small deal to you, but if you have ever had somebody you cared about promise to be anywhere, whether it was a game or a date or an event or a holiday or whatever, if you have ever had someone promise to be there and then not show up, you know with me this morning that it is a big deal that God showed up. Huge deal. Because there were all sorts of obstacles in the way. And he is the God who showed up. As a matter of fact, he wants to be known that this way. That's why he gave himself this name, Emmanuel. Emmanuel just means God with us. He really is just saying, I want you to remember, I'm the God who showed up in your life. I'm the God who went no matter how far I had to go to show up for you. I'm the God who wants to be with you. I'm the God who wants to talk to you. I'm the God who's not far away today. I'm the God who means you don't have to be lonely today. Because I'm the God who's with you today. So, take away all of our expectations, and what are we left with for Christmas? We're left with Jesus. But that just means we have all those other expectations we have to be honest about, right? We have to be honest about our expectations about Jesus. Because we have all sorts of expectations about who Jesus is supposed to be. It's not just these people with these expectations. We have our own expectations as well. Some of us expect Jesus to be really angry with us. Some of us expect Jesus to be very distant. Some of us expect Jesus to be an add-on in our lives. I am amazed that of all of the things that have changed in our culture, one thing that goes unchanging since the time for the last 20, 30 years is I can walk in to McDonald's and order any single thing whatsoever, and I will be asked, would you like fries with that? And sometimes I think we think that Jesus is saying, would you like some Jesus with that? You know, you're just running your whole life. You're doing what you're doing. You're just going to keep going the direction you've been going the whole time, and you're just going to get a little Jesus with that. Like he's just an add-on, just a quick 99-cent value Jesus. You know, like that's what I think sometimes we don't say it that way, right? But sometimes I think that's what our expectation is. I get to run most of my life. You just get to kind of come with me along the journey, Jesus. But on the flip side, sometimes I think we do think Jesus is this Jesus. I think we think that Jesus is a God who is going to beat things into submission or force his way on us. Just make everything happen. And so no matter what happens, it's okay, because Jesus is going to figure it out. As if we have no power or no influence in the world. He's just going to swoop in with the sword, and he's just going to break it all down. And then you can always tell when folks have this expectation, because then when things go badly, and it turned out Jesus was not the swoop in with the sword Jesus, they're like, Jesus, where were you? We have all these expectations about who Jesus is going to be. And if we let those all get stripped away, what are we left with? The worship team can come back up. But what are we left with? We certainly are not left with a Jesus who is going to force his will on the world. We're left with a Jesus who is going to lead, not force. Who is going to invite you to follow. Who is going to be a leader, not a puppet master. He's not a manipulator. He's a leader. He wants to lead you. And we're left with a Jesus that isn't a judge. He's not looking to hammer you or pound you down. He's looking to forgive you, to give you a fresh start. And so I think we're left with a fairly easy question. Easy to ask, anyway. This coming year, starting today, all the way till next Christmas, will you be led? I think that's the Christmas question. Jesus is never going to force you. Jesus is never going to manipulate you. He's not going to brainwash you. He's going to invite you. He's just going to say, will you be led? Will you let me walk you? Not will you let me walk with you, but will you let me walk you? Will you let me lead you? Will you let me guide you? Will you listen? Will you talk to me? Will you come on this journey that I want to take you on? Will you let me lead you? That's the question we're left with this Christmas. And you know, I know that knowing exactly how to do that in real practical terms can be very complicated. And so this next January, we're actually going to be starting a series that we do every single January that we call Foundations. And the idea is that we're going to give you four different choices you can make every single week that allow you to let Jesus lead you. So I hope you come on out for that. But it starts today. It starts today knowing that Jesus, the real Jesus, is here with you.
Now we're just going to take a moment. I'm going to invite everyone to stand and up. You see, what's incredible is that we do not have to wait for this. That our God, he came, and our God is with us. Can you guys say, God is with me? And as he came to be Emmanuel, God with us. That this moment, I'm going to ask you guys, just take a second, close your eyes. Can bow your heads. We're not going to do any voodoo or anything special, but I want to give you guys an opportunity to respond to what God is doing in your heart. Now, if you had something that came up as the sermon, as Pastor Joshua was preaching, and you remembered something, or all of a sudden God was speaking to you, then we're going to sing this last song, and I invite you, if you would like to come on up, we would love to pray with you, if you want to respond to what God is doing in your life today.
Jesus. Jesus, we invite you once again into our day. Today, above all other days. The day we celebrate and commemorate your decision to become a man so that we could have a God who was with us. Throughout all of our celebrations, God, we invite you to be present and beg you to help us be mindful of you. Thank you so much for your gift of your Son. Thank you so much, God, that you loved us so much that you came into the world to become one of us, to take on our pain and our brokenness and our sin so that we might become children of God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. My family, I love you. Merry Christmas. Go with God.